7:31 a.m. The purpose of this meeting is to substantively review psychologist applications. Ms. Folks, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Catarino?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Agenda item 3, approval of minutes. Are there any changes, additions, or corrections to the regular session meeting minutes?
No.
Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the April 29th, 2022 draft minutes?
Did you say you made a motion or you're looking for a motion?
I'm looking for a motion.
Oh, I would like to make a motion to approve the April 29th, 2022 minutes of the committee.
Seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any objections? Motion carries. And also looking for a motion to approve the May 27th, 2022 minutes.
Well, I think I'd like to make a motion to approve the May 27th minutes.
And I'll second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any objections? Hearing none, the motion carries. I think that's all of those. Yes. All right. Moving on to agenda item 4, discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. Ms. Folks, who all do we have here today?
I am not sure. We haven't asked. We have Dr. Hammett.
Okay.
And there are 3 other callers who we have not requested to give us their identity. So.
If you could, please introduce yourselves.
My name is Dr. Karen Douglas.
My name is Dr. Joe Zara.
Say that one again.
Yes, Dr. Joe Bezerra.
Okay. All right. Dr. Yeah. Douglas, it's Dr. Bezerra.
Yes.
And who is the last one?
Hi, my name is Dr. Madison Savage. I'm one of the names to be reviewed today.
Madison Savage, okay.
And Dr. Meyer, we have a 4th guest who's indicated, reflected as Elizabeth. That must be...
I don't see.
I don't see an applicant named Elizabeth.
Okay, so just a member of the public, it seems.
Okay, so I have Dr. Hammett, Dr. Bezerra, Dr. Savage, and Dr. Douglas. Is that correct? Anyone else? Okay. Why don't we start by jumping to item B5, Dr. Julia Hammett. And I can start that in just a second. This is requesting approval to sit for the EPPP and licensure. Dr. Hammett graduated from UCLA in 2021, which is APA accredited. She completed 620 hours of pre-doctoral practicum at the UCLA clinic. There was a verification and training plan. She also reported 474 hours from the UCLA counseling, and there was a training plan, but I did not see a verification form.
I'm sure I've got one. Let me... I might have missed it.
All right, if you could take a look for that, Ms. Folks.
If I may just quickly add, good morning, everyone. I emailed, or not I, I think it was emailed separately. It wasn't submitted as part of the portal. For some reason, it didn't go through. So Dr. who did submit it. I think Dr. Steve Lee submitted it via email to Mrs. Faucus.
Okay. We'll look for that.
Thank you.
Moving on for internship, she completed 2,000 hours at Southwest Behavioral Health. There's a verification plan. That internship site is APA approved. And there were references. So the only issue I saw was the verification form for PRAC. Dr. Katarina, did you see anything?
No, and I had, and I could be incorrect, that the pre-internship I had 2,195. I don't know if I see that correctly. I'll check that.
Yeah, the only two that were indicated were the UCLA clinic and then the counseling services, which was a total of 1,094.
Okay.
But with the verification plan for the counseling center, she would have the 3,000 hours.
Are you saying that you're not seeing the internship? Is that
what? No, the pre-internship, I believe.
Practicum. Pre-doctoral for UCLA counseling. And why don't we come back to that? Excuse me. We can move on next to item D1, approval for, oh, wait. Oh, how about, no, I guess under the same section still, ECCC and licensure, Joe Bezerra. Dr. Katarina, would you like to?
Should we leave Hammett, though? Is that okay?
We can come back.
Mr. Chair, committee members, if I may, the file that I thought, is the file you have 233 pages for Hammett?
I'm just looking that up. Yes, I see 233.
All right, the pre-internship verification starts on page 24. And there's just the one site, UCLA Psychology Clinic, on page 25.
And we also, there was a second site for the counseling center.
Yeah, in the beginning, it had 2,190 for the total pre-internship on page 6.
Oh, I'm missing. Okay, I see what you're saying. I'm missing.
But okay. Right, I think that's an error.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've got it. I was just trying to figure out what I'm looking for. All right, thank you.
If you look at page 22, she lists two sites: the UCLA Psychology Clinic and the UCLA Counseling and Psychological Services, for a total of 1,094.
Okay,
I see that. Yeah, so that was confusing then, because I saw this and then I saw the 2,190. Maybe Dr. Hammett could explain this.
Well, it may be that it's just not in the file, that somehow it slipped through the cracks when I was putting it all together.
But it should be there. It should be there, and I'm also trying to find it. Although I think this is a form that had to be submitted directly from the verifier rather than from myself. I'm happy to email it in right now. I don't know if that could count, or just to submit it some other time.
Dr. Hammett, did you work at any other sites besides those two that we see?
I did. I just didn't submit them for verification because I thought it only needed to be 1,000. I could gather the other ones, so two of that.
Okay, so the ones we see, the UCLA Psychological Clinic and UCLA Counseling and Psychological, that equal 1,094.5, there's more. There's another 1,000 somewhere.
The one I'm finding, there's only one, and it's 474 hours.
So where do we, Dr. Hammond, where do you see the 2,195? On page.
So Maya, I don't have your pages. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that's all. Your total of pre-internship, it's listed there, 2,191.5.
Since I don't know what page you're on, if you want to move with the next applicant, I'm happy to like look through my files and then make sense of what we're talking about.
Okay, so what seems to be the issue is on the bottom of that form, internship, mm-hmm. you have 2,191.5, but then on another page, it's you list only two sites and it comes to around 1,000. So it's the question of, you know.
So I'm hoping to have 1,000 hours. I'm hoping to have 1,094.5 pre-internship hours counted and the other ones to come from internship. That's my understanding that will be sufficient, correct?
Well, it's just because it's confusing on the forms, you have different numbers as well.
I don't know. My version of the form says 1,094, so I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not.
They does say that too. We have different forms.
But I don't know that really matters if we have the verification of 3,000 hours.
Okay. So where do? But we. But that's the problem. We're missing.
Okay, just a second, Miss mm-hmm. Oaks. You said you have one for 474 hours.
Yes, I just uploaded it. It's labeled 4B5A Hammock pre-internship missing page.
Perfect.
So then we're still missing some, or is that
no,
everything?
That we only need the 1,094.
Yeah. So that would. Do we have the 600 one then?
The 600 one we have.
Okay, then
620. And so now I'm just looking for that upload. Okay.
I'm trying to get to that the upload. 4B. So I can't find the upload. Where would that be?
Refresh your folder.
Oh, okay.
And it's 4B5A.
Yep.
Okay, I see now.
And it looks good to me.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm okay with that.
All right, so I don't see any other problems. That takes care of it.
Yes.
So I'm, Dr. Hammett, your application will be moved forward to the board, next week's board meeting for approval.
Thank you.
Thank you for the help.
Okay, I'm going to get back. Okay, thank you. Okay, did you ask me to do Dr. Bazir?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dr. Bazir attended Grand Canyon, but got his degree from California Southern. So I have a couple questions. We were concerned at the last meeting about the assessment course, and I see a course was uploaded. But that course to me looks like a measurement course because part of the assessment course would be actually administering assessments. I looked up the California Southern catalog and they do offer assessment one and assessment two, but Dr. Bazir did not take those. So I'm still concerned that we don't have an appropriate assessment course. That's the first thing. Secondly, we have an internship and pre-internship, internship, and postdoc with Dr. Samuels. We do, my understanding is according to the law of our state, we have to have at an internship site two psychologists on staff. At least one must be licensed in Arizona. But the second is available. So the secondary supervisor who was listed by Dr. Samuels in a separate letter was Dr. Enton. I looked him up and he's not licensed in Arizona. He is licensed in Virginia. The question I have is, number one, is he on staff if he's living and working in Virginia? And number two, what's the impact of him not being licensed in Arizona? So those are a couple concerns I have.
And those were the exact concerns I had. Dr. Bezerra, could you share with us the course you took at GCU on tests and measures? Did that course include learning to administer psychological assessments?
Yes, sir, it does. It's called tests and measurements, but what it is basically assessment of clients. When you're testing clients, right? You're learning the process of testing using different psychological.
Did you administer tests for that course?
Yes, we did mock presentation of the administration of tests.
Okay.
Let me hear that. You did not administer tests? I couldn't.
What? Say that again?
Did you say we did not administer assessments?
Yes, we did.
What assessments did you administer?
We had the BECS for anxiety. We had the BECS for depression. We learned the Minnesota, testing. We had just so many different battery of tests that we learned how to administer.
Well, when I looked at the description, it includes more a theoretical understanding of testing and measurement issues. And then they offered the two other courses, assessment one and two, which were administering in-depth, tests, maybe like cognitive assessments, things that would require a lot of training, not just a rating scale, a self-rating form.
That is the one and two assessment is for California Southern, but they looked at the course that I took at GCU and they accepted in place of assessment one that they offer because they saw that. And they even asked for the textbook to find out what material was being taught. And assessment is definitely one of them.
It's typically in many programs that I'm familiar with, they're two separate courses.
Yeah. Do you have a syllabus for the GCU course, Dr. Bezerra?
Yes, I'm sure I can find it. I have it on files, all the syllabus.
Okay. I think that would be very beneficial for us to see because I had the same concerns with Dr. Caterino that the brief description we had in the catalog for that course did not look like it would necessarily meet the requirements for this section, which specifically states it includes instruction and interviewing and the administration, scoring, and interpretation of psychological test batteries. The BECS depression, anxiety did not fall into that. Those are simple rating screens. And we're talking about psychological
Myers and yes, and I did, Dr. Myers, I did actually, go in and register as soon as I heard of this, because I thought it could be an issue. I registered at the school for the assessment, the psychological assessment one, and I'm on right now taking it.
Mr. Chair, members, if I may.
Yes, Ms. Folks.
Rule R4-26-202, subsection C, states that the applicant can also demonstrate that they've met these requirements in 2071A4 with a comprehensive exam. And we did receive that documentation from California Southern, and it starts on page 316.
Yes, however, that gave a description of their assessments, but there was no actual information on Dr. Bezerra's performance on that. We had an email saying he passed, but there was no indication of what material he submitted or how he was graded or what his evaluation even was. And so,
okay. Dr. Meyer.
Go ahead.
Can I speak to that? It was actually a proctor examination.
Right, but right? We don't have the examination. We don't have a score. We don't have any evaluation of how you actually did.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like, you know, did you complete any reports, you know, for example, on the assessments that you gave?
Right.
Yes, I did.
Okay, maybe that would be helpful.
So actual evidence of that exam would be helpful, and that could be sufficient for this. A syllabus for the test and measurement could possibly help meet the requirements for this. So either or both of those would help. The other...
I thought the school had sent that, Dr. Mize. I'm sorry.
They didn't send anything about your actual work on your comprehensive exam.
Okay. And what you needed was a syllabus?
We need a syllabus for the test and measurement, Psychology 812 course, or we need the actual evaluation of your comprehensive exam. And indication that included specific work on assessment.
Like so the practical administration, not just theoretical understanding of statistical issues related to measurement.
Right.
Okay.
And then the other
question. Mm-hmm.
The other question is about your secondary supervision for your internship. Forgot his name, Dr.
Enton.
Enton.
Alan Enton.
Okay, was he registered with Arizona? This would have been during COVID, right? Was he registered to practice in Arizona or?
No, he was not. He was in Virginia. He's licensed in Virginia. He was one of the, he's got a 51 years of experience in psychology.
But you cannot practice in Arizona without an Arizona license, or an alternative would be if he were registered to practice here during the rules for COVID, or if he's a, is Virginia a member of SciPac? I don't think.
No, he was one of the APA's, Region 42. One of the directors back then, I think in the 80s or so, very famous, very known for photopsychology and approaching therapy.
That does not matter. To provide supervision in Arizona, you have to be licensed in Arizona.
You also have to be on staff at the site. It says on staff.
Right. And
was he on staff at the Dr. Samuel's practice?
It says at least one of the psychologists have to be in the jurisdiction where the program is offered, and then one available. So he was available.
What about the SUVAT part? But the part where I'm asking is, was he on staff? If you read the whole statute.
Yes, they worked together.
So he was paid?
He's the one who advises.
He was paid? On staff, to me, might imply payment.
I don't know if they have that relationship. I would have to find out. But I know that he's the go-to when Dr. Richards is not in.
So,
and did you go to him? Did you have to speak with him?
Yes, several times. I learned a lot with him. You know, on he's an expert on photopsychology. And any questions that I ever had that Dr. Richmond wasn't there, he was the go-to.
Dr. Meyer?
So, yeah, I mean, the code here is that you have two psychologists that are training and providing supervision. And I think what is being misinterpreted, and perhaps Ms. Galvin could help with this, is that it says at least one of whom is licensed or certified at the independent level. I mean, we require a supervisor to be licensed for at least 2 years to provide supervision. But I don't understand how we could have, how you could meet this without somebody that was, well,
yeah. I think the on-staff is the problem.
Dr. Meyer, the statute and Dr. Katarina talks about two psychologists, which suggests, implies, requires the individual be licensed here to provide this supervision. They may not physically be located, but they would at least be licensed here in order to provide the supervision that's required. On staff is not defined, and I think in this world of virtual supervision and telehealth, I'm less concerned with that arrangement. I think the most pressing issue is that this secondary supervisor is not licensed in Arizona. And Dr. Meyer and Katarino, your discussion about that requirement, regardless of this individual's qualifications and perhaps expertise in the field, does not take away from the fact that he was not licensed here, and clearly the applicant stated that he was consulted on numerous times on a variety of topics.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I do want to clarify too that Ms. Folks did investigate, any sort of, you mentioned the COVID, perhaps an authorization under those auspices. We did try to find, any sort of pathway through which he was authorized to practice in Arizona. We did not find anything, so.
The other concern about the internship is the hours. We had brought this up in the most recent request for additional information, and some of the numbers were changed, but it still doesn't make sense. The new form states that there were 2,078 hours worked, and that 1,914 of those hours were direct client contact. And if you subtract those two numbers, you get a remaining amount of hours of 164. Yet here it states there were 291 hours of supervision. In looking at the supervision logs, there were also some staff meetings. Again, the numbers don't add up. And I just don't understand how this can keep being inaccurate. And
yes, Dr. Mize, I can explain that. So the 1623 that you see there, right, on the hours, it was based on the 1,914 hours, okay, is 1,623 hours on individual psychotherapy, right? So when I add, and he pulled all the files and we put it together, the hours and all, okay? And it's all based on individual psychotherapy, right? That's me and the clients. And then when you get the face-to-face, that is added only with, because it's also, individual supervision, right? It's individual hours. So it was, let's say if 1 week was 30 hours, then 6 of those hours would be face-to-face individual supervision with my supervisor, right? So those were added. So the face-to-face with the supervisor, which is 291 hours, plus the 1623, which is individual therapy, right? That gave a total of 1914 hours.
Okay, well,
and then
again,
everything
this is,
else that you...
Again, this is filled out incorrectly. If you look at the form under Section B, Item 7 is the total number of direct client contact hours. That number, the 1914, should not include supervision. But the concern here is if you're doing 1900 hours of direct client contact and maxing that out, what about documentation? What about a comprehensive training program that's included as a component of the training program? The hours here just, again, do not work. At this point, this form is not sufficient to, in my mind, to be approved. Dr. Caterino, thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I have the question of the assessment. I have the question on supervisor and the hours. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So at this point, we're kind of in the same place as the last review, that we don't have sufficient information to approve the assessment course for your education, and the internship verification is not sufficient. And we also need to look at the secondary supervisor's practice in Arizona without a license.
Dr. Meyer and Dr. Caterino, with respect to the assessment...
Dr. Meyer, can I ask you a question?
No,
just a minute, please.
Please,
just a minute.
Wait, Ms. Galvin.
With respect to the assessment, even if you got a syllabus or he completed the coursework, and with respect to the number of hours, even if those were somehow remedied, the deficiency of the secondary supervisor cannot, in my opinion, am I hearing you correctly, cannot be overcome. The fact is he was not licensed here. He provided supervision here. So that secondary supervisor deficit cannot be overcome. Is it appropriate to make a motion to allow the applicant to withdraw the application? And if he doesn't, then you would move to deny the application?
I think there's a confusion when it's in saying one of whom must be. See, when you say two psychologists, that implies that they're licensed. But then I can see maybe Dr. Bezerith, when he said it, it says one of whom must be licensed.
One of whom has to be licensed.
Okay, Dr. Bezerith, please wait. We're having a discussion here. Go ahead, Dr. Caterino.
I was waiting for Ms. Gelman to explain that part.
It says one who is licensed or certified to practice at the independent level in a state or jurisdiction in which the program exists. So that suggests you can have another psychologist in another jurisdiction, but by using the term psychologist, two psychologists, that suggests the requirement that they be licensed in Arizona. There obviously could easily be a circumstance where that secondary psychologist is located somewhere else, but is licensed here in order to provide the required supervision.
Right. I think that's what they were confused by, because it doesn't say both of whom are licensed, but by using the term psychologist, the implication is there.
Yes. And so if that requirement cannot be overcome, because clearly the secondary supervisor was not licensed here, are we at the juncture where he either withdraws the application or is it denied? Regardless of a syllabus, regardless of the assessment, regardless of figuring out the hours.
Can I ask, even though he's graduated, can he do an internship over?
That is an issue we've run into before when somebody does not meet the requirements. And one option has been to go back to the university and try to arrange that again, but I don't know that I've seen that be done. Ms. Pakkinen, are you aware of other instances such as...
Could it be done?
Even... Not aware of any, no.
Is there an option for like a respecialization, Heidi or Kathy, is that an option?
There is language to that effect in 2071. I think it's toward the end of the statute, right, Kathy? Hold on.
The respecialization.
Yes, I think it's subsection L that allows for a respecialization and a 1500 hour internship.
But that, I've had that when my students, I mean, they had maybe a degree in clinical and they wanted a degree in school. So they had to take the coursework that was required, the comms and the internship.
Yeah.
We did have someone that we're going to be talking about later that did 10 months of an internship and then did another internship. But I think that was all before she graduated.
Right. That's the issue, is the internship is pre-graduation with your doctorate. And if you just go out and do another one, then that's a postdoc.
Right. So is the law say, you know, I know it's a combination of hours to 3,000, you know, pre-internship, internship, postdoc. But it does say clearly there must be an internship.
1,500 has to be from internship.
Yeah. And
the other 1,500 can be from either pre-doctoral practicum or postdoc.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dr. Catarino, in reference to Ms. Galvin's question about the secondary supervisor, are you in agreement that this application would be rejected if it's not withdrawn?
I'm on the fence on that. What do you think?
So perhaps should we take this to the full board and have that discussion there?
Well, what do you think?
I too am on the fence. I think that perhaps. Well, I mean, no. As it stands now. The internship does not meet the requirements. So yeah. I guess I would have to say that this is insufficient and
yes.
Should be rejected.
Yeah. I just, you know, felt we did put in work and it felt bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other routes to licensure here, whether that be meet requirements somewhere else for a year and then go through universal recognition.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Or the respecializations. There are other options. It's just, as it stands now, this application is not sufficient, and I don't see any way that it could be remedied.
Right, because other states may not have the same supervision requirements for internship.
California does not.
It does not. Okay, so, yeah, then I agree.
All right, so we would... Dr. Bezer, you have the option of withdrawing your application. Otherwise, we will be forwarding this to the board for denial.
And Mr. Chair, usually when this situation emerges, we do advise the applicant that one of the implications of a denial is that it's a reportable action to the National Practitioners Data Bank. So we would want the applicant to know that as he's evaluating the two options.
Right. And you don't need to make that decision right now. You can work with staff and they can provide additional information on options.
So, Dr. Myers, the options that I have is to withdraw the application or be rejected?
Correct.
Or to go to the full board.
Okay. Okay. Can I say something really quick?
Sure.
About it? Okay. So when I look at page 17, and this initially was when I was trying to make sense of the application, right? And I see that it's asking for the psychologist specifically, which one was... you know, the supervisor and all. And then he says, which is, what is, who, was this supervised? So you ask the question, was this staff psychologist licensed? Right, he's talking about one. And then we did have Dr. Enten because they worked together, Dr. Richard and Enten. They know each other since 1972. Okay, so basically, they worked together. Now, my thing was that when I looked and I tried to make sense of the application, and it says at least one of the psychologists has to be licensed at the jurisdiction, and at least one psychologist is available, right? So that gives the impression to people that one of them is licensed here. That's what we all understood that. Okay, because I could have had Dr. Richard, you know, with another psychologist that is also part of this program and join in to refer their own students to Dr. Richard, right? But because it says at least one, okay, Dr. Richard thought, and I thought, that it was one psychologist licensed in the state of Arizona. That's the impression that we had. Okay, I have no problems. I can do another internship. Okay, but you know it's gonna be difficult because you know I got to go back to the school, okay, and explain and ask to do this, right? To have to take another internship with them, and they will. I'm a summa cum laude, 4.0 GPA at both schools. Okay, so at not only the PhD with Grand Canyon University, but also the PsyD with California Southern University, right? So basically, yes, it will be a burden for me, and it's fine. I can endure and do it, okay, because I am a psychologist and I'm a clinical psychologist, right? So, but in a research psychologist.
A psychologist requires a license.
No, I know. You're no, not but licensed. I'm saying so far as the no,
academic. Let me go ahead and stop you there. The beyond just the application, you have to be aware of the state rules and statutes that guide practice as in psychology for Arizona. The committee does not believe that this application meets those requirements. And so you can decide to withdraw your application, or we will be denying the application.
Okay. And you mentioned the avenues that I have also is that I could get in another state and be recognized as a universal recognition, correct?
Right. Arizona has the option of becoming, if you've been licensed for 1 year in another jurisdiction, with no ethical complaints, then we do accept that licensure here.
Okay, so I will withdraw.
All right, and staff will follow up with you and do that. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen. And I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Okay, so next let's move. So that takes care of, he was listed in both B and E.
Do we have anyone else present? I thought we had Karen Douglas.
Yes, let's move down to E, approval of supervised temporary licensure and to set for ECPP for Dr. Savage. And I can do that.
Okay.
Yes. Dr. Savage graduated from NAU in the counseling and school program in 2021. It's APA approved. She did not submit pre-doctoral hours, or pre-internship hours. She did submit, 2,000 hours for internship through COPA Health. There was a verification, and that program is APIC approved. There was also information about she was previously on internship at a VA from which she withdrew after 10 months. Those hours are not included in this. There was an explanation about that, as well as pretty thorough documentation about her performance at the subsequent internship. This was all done while working with her program. So I was okay with that. She's currently has a training plan and supervision through COPA Health for her postdoc. She submitted references. I didn't see any other issues with this application.
Yeah, so my understanding is the first internship, those hours would be about 1,600 hours, but they're not counting. We're not including those. And then the 2,000 hours we are including from COPA, and now in the process at COPA for a postdoc. So you can continue the postdoc and then eventually get the formal license. But here we just are going for temporary and sitting for the EPPP. So I think everything's okay for that.
So Dr. Savage will be forwarding your application to the board next week for approval for temporary license and to sit for the EPPP.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good day. And finally, do we still have Dr. Douglas?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. Dr. Katerina, you want to take this one?
Yes, I have Dr. Douglas. You went to the Adler School in Chicago, and you did do a non-APA approved internship at the Great Lawn Mental Health Center. You have a license in Indiana, and you're asking for approval under credential, licensure by credential. I think seems okay to me, unless you had a question, Dr. Meyer.
No, National Registers approved that, and that credential is active. I didn't see any problems.
Okay.
All right. So
I did want to say I'm also licensed in Illinois. I don't know if you need that information.
Yes, I saw that too. But you only need one. So,
Dr. Douglas will be forwarding your application to the board next week for approval for licensure through credential.
Thank you all for your time and your attention.
Thank you. Okay. Do we have anybody else present that we did not cover yet?
Good morning. I'm Dr. Oppenheimer.
Okay, yes.
Oh, all right. Down on Section G, requesting approval for licensure by universal recognition. Dr. Oppenheimer has been licensed in Florida since 2004, graduated from Alliant University, has established residency in Arizona, demonstrated by a rental agreement. I didn't see any problems with this application.
Well, I did want to ask, are you living here? Because the utility bill was really low.
That was an initial bill.
Okay.
So that's why it was lower.
Okay, that's nothing like my bill. Okay. So I just wanted to be sure that you are living here, then I see the problems then.
Yeah, I think it was only like 14 days on the bill. So
Dr. Katerina, that's a level of detail that I do not put into this.
I can't help myself. Yes.
All right, Dr. Oppenheimer, we will be moving your application to the full board for approval, which meets next week.
Wonderful. Thank you so
much. And use up that air conditioning. Come on.
Oh, I will. Thank you.
Okay, I think that's everybody that's present. Yes, anyone else? All right, so let's go back to the top, start in A1.
All righty. Gulick.
Yes.
Dr. Gulick?
Yes, you want to go ahead and start?
Okay, I'll do it. So, Dr. Nessa Ziesel Feinstein Gulick, graduated from Pepperdine, APA approved, has a 2,000-hour internship from Southwest Behavioral, and she has references, so query form, and requesting approval to sit for the EPPP. I see no issues there.
Nor did I. Next one is Andrea Munoz. This is a reapplication after not passing the EPPP. So we've already previously reviewed, but she graduated from Azusa Pacific University in 21, APA accredited, internship at Southwest Behavioral Health. We had a verification form. It's APA approved. We had references. I didn't see any issues with this one.
Me too. Okay.
All right.
Can we make a motion for those two?
Please.
Okay. I make a motion that we grant approval for Dr. Gulick and Dr. Munoz to be allowed to sit for the EPPP.
Move them to the full board for approval.
And to move them to the full board for approval.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one is, so section B, Ashley McWaters.
Okay. Ashley Renee McWaters graduated from Pacific University, APA approved. She has an internship of 1,917 hours, but is a banner postdoc. We had two different numbers, but I guess she's accruing more numbers in the postdoc. Because initially, I saw 1,086 and then 1,242, but maybe she's just done more hours, I wonder. And two recommendations are there, self-query, so I would approve. I don't know if we have to ask about the postdoc hours.
The way I interpret that, she has enough that from the time
either one is fine.
Application to the time that the verification, and I focus on the verification as opposed to the
okay.
They just added in the form.
Okay, so I think it's fine. I don't see any issues.
I didn't see any problems. Next is Dr. Colette Wilcoxon, graduated from Midwestern in 2021, APA approved, submitted 1,134 hours of pre-internship practicum, of which 495 hours were from the Midwestern's clinic. Mm-hmm. We had a verification and training plan, another 639 hours from Counseling Insight. Also had a verification and training plan. I didn't see issues with those. Her internship, she reported 1,752 hours with, I guess, a private practice, Dr. Zlomke, but there was no verification or training plan that I saw.
Oh.
And then she submitted some postdoc hours, but to get to the 3,000, but the intern ship is deficient.
Okay.
Ms. Folks, do you know if there's additional material that she submitted?
Yes. Let me put that together and upload it.
Okay, great. So we'll come back to her then. Oh, well, then let me go ahead and say the postdoc hours. She submitted 313.
I have 613.
Sorry, 613. Thank you.
Okay.
From Child and Family Center, there was a verification and training plan. She did have references. So as long as we have a verification, and if not APA or APIC approved, then also a training plan for the internship, then I don't see any other deficits.
Yeah, I'm checking about that internship. Let's see. Okay. Did you find it yet, anybody?
Is not in the file. I'm sure I've got it. Let me, if you want to move on and come back to this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll come back to that if you want to move on to Jennifer Weigert.
Okay, yeah, there was one concern here.
Please.
Okay, so let me go back to Zoom. Okay, I can see you better. Okay, so Weigert went to Alliant, it was APA approved, graduated 2019. She had 4,000 hours pre-internship, 3,000 hours internship, and 1,500 postdoc. This is my concern, is that the internship took more than 24 months. That's why there's so many hours. It was 8,500 hours, I think. So I just not sure, because I think that our statute says they must be done within 24 months. So I was going to ask you also.
In addition to that, one of the sites did not have, the family center. So there was 1,200 hours from the family center, but she didn't have 25% of client contact.
But if we don't count that, because there's so many hours, we have, right? Because I had 8,500 hours.
We have to have 1,500 from internship.
And those, and that's where we don't have the 25%.
So she didn't have 25% at that site, and there was no training plan.
Mm-hmm.
She also more recently did 1,200 hours at Aurora Behavioral Health.
Yes.
But she did not receive enough supervision there. So even though there were two different sites, we don't have 1,500 hours over 24 months, and both of those sites had problems with the hours that she did receive. So I don't see that her internship meets requirements.
So then this is another thing where you could maybe look into another state or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I guess is there the potential for clarification that would meet the requirements, but I'm not sure. I mean, how do we typically proceed with that, Ms. Pekonen? Do we always ask for follow-up or for clarification prior to rejecting an application?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Whenever possible, it's advisable to issue a FAIR letter. What the FAIR letter does is it enables the applicant to attempt to provide any information that would complete the application, but importantly, it also buys the applicant some additional time. I'm not sure how useful that's going to be practically speaking, but I think we want to follow our precedent. Would you agree, Ms. Galvin?
I would agree.
Okay. All right. So we would request more information about internship. But she's already explained that it wasn't done over 24 hours or 24 months. So that can't be met. She provided some rationale.
And that was before, but that was before COVID, by the way. Just want to make that point.
Right. In that case, I don't see a way forward. Ms. Galvin, would you weigh in on that?
I would agree with your assessment as well. Another situation where a requirement cannot be remedied.
Okay. So, yeah, she recognized that was a problem, the 24 hours.
Months.
Why do I keep saying that? Plus the deficits in there. I don't know that it makes sense to do a request for additional information.
Yes, Mr. Chair, what that might look like is the fair could consist of inviting her to your next committee meeting for purposes of having this discussion with her. It doesn't really move the needle, but I'm just sort of brainstorming about what a fair might accomplish, which is to enable the same conversation, type of conversation that you had with an applicant moments ago. That's up to you.
It might be okay to have her come do a fair.
But she does acknowledge that she wasn't able to complete it. So I don't know what additional information, but that's up to the committee.
Right. With the previous candidate, he wasn't acknowledging a deficit with his application. And so we had additional questions. This one, she already provided that information and it doesn't meet our statutes. So yes. My vote would be to deny this unless she chooses to withdraw it. Dr. Caterino?
What if she asks for, ability to speak to us or to the board? Is that allowed? Like if we could say, we don't need a meeting, but if she says, I want to have a meeting, I guess we could say yes.
You could, if she makes that request, either appear before the committee or the board.
So then, okay, we could deny it, and then if she requests it, we could meet.
Sure. But yeah, I did. In this case, it doesn't meet the requirements that our statutes describe here. So, all right.
Mr. Chair, committee members, if I may,
please.
The internship for Colette Will Coxon has been made available. If you'll refresh your form,
okay.
I apologize that it wasn't in the file.
No worries. But for this one, Dr. Weigert, I would say that this should be rejected.
Okay, I agree.
Okay. Back to
Let's look at the Wilcoxon that was loaded. I see it here. 2,000 hours. It says it was an APA site. And on her form it said 1752 hours. Here it says 2,000 hours. That's interesting. But it does say it was APA site. I thought it was.
If I may, Dr. Caterino, the applicant's statement on the application is often not matching perfectly to the verifications. It's the verifications that count.
So, but this one here, it is an APA site, has a correct hours. So what do you think, Dr. Martin?
Yep, this is what we were missing. So I don't see any additional issues with Dr. Wilcoxon's.
Yeah, me either, so.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so we've said yes to Wilcoxon.
Yes.
No to Weigert. We've already done the Zara.
Right. We've
already done Hammett. So next is Courtney Cryer.
Okay. Do you want me to do that one?
Sure.
Courtney Cryer attended Chicago School of Professional Psychology, APA approved. She had an internship of 2,115.6 hours and a postdoc of over 2,000 hours. So those are good. She does have previous history that I don't know what if we're allowed to say it, but yeah, right, because we're in a closed committee. So she had some...
You are not.
Oh, that's why I didn't know. So there is a history of concern. 2002. That's the wrong one. I went the wrong line. I'm sorry. So Courtney Cryer, Chicago School of Professional Psych, APA program, Louisiana State University, 2020 hours, APA site, postdoc, USA Counseling, 2000 hours, two recommendations, so query. I have no concerns.
The one question I had is, with the residency requirements, with the whole Argosy to Chicago, did we have an expiration to our exception on that? Did we have, for some reason I was thinking that we'd done that through COVID emergency response and set it out to a date that we hoped would cover everybody. Am I just making this up, or?
I don't remember, but I know that recently we've had other people transfer to Chicago School from Argosy.
Mr. Chair, I'm going by memory, but I know it's off into September of 2023. It may be September 21. Oh, sorry. September 1, 2023. We're not there yet.
Okay.
What we'll do is as we encounter this issue, we'll have some more conversation about should we request maybe another legislative session law to push it out because of COVID.
Great. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. So I didn't see any issues with this one.
Okay. My eyes went down to the wrong column. Right, why don't you do the next person then?
All right. Next is Dr. Kristen Million. Mm-hmm. There was a legal issue half her lifetime ago. As far as I can tell, there's been nothing subsequent to it. She addressed it, I thought, sufficiently. She's another Arizona Argosy to Chicago transfer, graduated in 2020, submitted 2080 hours from the Missouri Consortium, verification, and that's APA approved. She also did 2079 hours at the Arizona Consortium for postdoc, had a verification and training plan, had references. I didn't see any issues.
Yes, the only issue was the previous one, and it is 20 years ago. So I'm okay with it then.
Okay. Next.
No, I think similar issue. So Dr. Clark graduated from University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in counseling psychology at APA group program. Has 1871 pre-doc hours, APA approved internship of over 2010 hours, two references, a self-query form, but we have a legal issue in 2013. So that's 9 years. So what are you?
Again, typically, if there's no indication of a pattern here, unless it's like a very recent or active issue, we've said that's okay.
Okay.
I did notice that the APA verification for University of Wisconsin was for the clinical psych program. And I believe this was the counseling.
This was a counseling psych program.
But the counseling is APA approved also. But as far as the forms go, that verification was not correct. But I didn't see any other issues.
Mr. Chair, I'll correct it in the file.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. So we're saying okay for Dr. Clark?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Your turn.
Thank you. Randy Phelps. Graduated from Miami University in 2021, APA approved, submitted 2080 hours from Oregon Health University, which is APA approved. We had a verification. Mm-hmm. For postdoc, however, we did not have a verification form. That postdoc was also done at Oregon Health, and there was a training plan, but we don't have that postdoc verification. Ms. Folks, do you recall if that one was submitted?
Oops, yes, it was submitted. I will post it in just a moment.
Okay. It's also a pre-internship at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, 1729 hours.
I missed that. She'd put those hours down, but there wasn't a verification form or anything, was there?
I don't think so. But she could get the verification from either place.
She checked no, that she wouldn't be counting that.
Okay.
And we don't have a verification or training plans for that one.
Okay.
So most likely.
Oh yeah, not applying to.
Most likely.
Oh, I see that.
Verification for the postdoc.
Yeah, I mean, since she had it under pre-internship, but then she also said not applying towards licensure. Hmm.
Because I bet we have the verification for postdoc. Ms. Folks is looking on that. So we can move on. The last one in this section is Joseph Murphy.
Okay. All right, so Joseph Murphy graduated from Chicago School of Professional Psych, which is APA approved, did an internship in North Texas, APA approved, is doing a postdoc at Barrows. So far has 1,520 hours, has two recommendations, a self-query form, does have a legal issue 10 years ago. So since it's 10 years, I guess nothing current, we would approve.
Yeah, this had already been reviewed and approved.
Oh, yes, that's right.
This is a reapplication.
Yeah, so that's okay to me then.
I didn't see any issues either.
Mr. Chair, committee members, the Randy Phelps's postdoc verification has been uploaded.
Great. Okay.
This says it was only for 1,400 hours.
That's what I had. And then, see, then there's 2,158 for the internship, so that would be over 3,000.
Well,
right?
You can't have more than 2,080 in a year for internship.
Well, even if that she had 2,080 and 1,400, was still over the 3,000.
No, right? We're 20 hours short.
Oh, really? Wait, so 20? Then help me with that. I got 2,080, but even if I take that down to 2,000, and then I have 1,400.
Oh, we only need 3,000. Sorry, we only need the 1,000. Right? Jeez.
Well, I'm sure. I was sure you were right, and I just couldn't see it.
That's just because I talk with confidence, even when I
yes. Talking about. But I don't get that.
Jeez. It's why you should always double check what I say.
well, I was adding. Yes.
Okay. Yes, I don't see any problems with this issue.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to move Dr. McWaters, Wilcoxon, Hammett, Cryer, Million, Clark, Phelps, and Murthy to the full board for approval for ECPP and licensure, and that leaves Drs. Weigert and Bezerra that are not approved. Do I have a second?
Yes, I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Next, C, approval of supervised experience for licensure. Charlotte.
Iorino.
She's passed the ECPP.
And very good score.
Already reviewed her application. She submitted her postdoc hours, 2,000 hours from the University of Arizona clinic. She supplied a verification and training plan, included references. I didn't see any problems with this application.
No, not at all.
Okay.
This one gets a star.
Do we have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve Dr. Charlotte Iorino for supervised experience for presentation at the full board. Is that
that'll work.
Give me the phrasing again.
I say motion to forward the application to the full board for approval.
Okay. They had all the words in the one order. Okay.
They were there.
To make a motion for Dr. Charlotte Iorino to forward her application to the full board for approval.
Seconded.
For supervised experience for licensure.
There you go. Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Section D, licensure by waiver. Anyone want to start us off?
Oh, it's me. Okay. Cindy Guadalupe Soto Lopez. So she is... she graduated from University of Nevada, Reno in 21. She had an internship at the VA, was APA accredited for over 2000, a postdoc, University of Nevada, 1750. She's been licensed from April of 22. Is there an amount of time you have to be licensed?
Yes. So with the waiver, if it's less than... 10 years, we just review it as normal, as a regular application. If it's, if it's less than 10 years, then we don't exclude everything. We review it all, just as we would a standard one. If it's 10 plus years, then we don't have to review postdoc hours, but we review everything else. So we just need the 1,500 hours of internship documented. And then if it's 20-plus hours, then we waive all supervised hours. We don't have to review any of that, so we're just looking for education.
Okay, well then, I approve her application. I don't see any issues with it.
Nor did I. Okay. Next, Dr. Felicia Mueller. This is a 10-plus... years licensed in Washington since 2007. She graduated from Argosy in Seattle, which apparently was not APA approved. She had all the coursework, however, for the cognitive affective section. She included a course in the section above that meets requirements, but it was all there. She submitted 2110 hours for internship from Oregon State University Counseling Center, which is an APA approved training, and we don't have to review postdoc. She submitted references. I didn't see any problems with this.
No, nor did I. Okay. Dr. Geddes. So this is, he has a doctorate from Colorado State, but he's he has no internship, but a practicum of 1,800 hours. But the degree, well, he was licensed in British Columbia from 1991.
So this is a 20 plus hours where we don't have to review any supervised hours. So it's just the education.
So then that would be fine. He has the references in the query form then.
Yeah, his program was AP approved. I didn't see any problems either.
Okay.
All right, I'll make a motion to move Drs. Soto Lopez, Mueller, and Geddes to the full board for approval for licensure by waiver. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Moving on to E, approval of supervised temporary licensure and to set for the EPPP. We've already reviewed Dr. Bezerra, so next is Maricela Smith, graduated from Midwestern in 21, APA approved, submitted 2,000 hours for internship at Southwest Behavioral Health. We had a verification form, it's APA approved. She's currently under supervision with a training plan at COPA Health. Had references. I didn't see any problems.
No, I didn't see any problem either. I did want to ask, when are we going to, is there an ending date for temporary license or, you know, ever? No, guess not.
You mean like that goes, that's no longer an option or when the
temporary? Yeah, like when it's no longer an option.
I don't think that's going away.
Oh, okay. Okay, that, so then, no, I'm fine. I just wondered about that. Okay, so now you, I guess you go with, do I go with Dr. Savage?
We already did her, so next is...
Oh, yeah, we did her.
Dr. Estrada.
Okay, so Chicago School of Professional Psych, Utah State Hospital and APA approved 2,000-hour internship. I didn't see any problems.
I didn't see references for.
Oh.
Folks, do you know if she submitted references?
I didn't have it listed.
Yes, I have them. I am so sorry about these things that are missing from the files.
There was a lot of them this month.
I know.
A lot of people to review. So.
Well, yeah, I was going to say there's a lot of people.
I go through these over and over and I think I've got it all right. And then we get here and I find out I've left stuff out accidentally.
Yeah, I noticed I didn't put down if the references were there.
I think it's not in the minutes, but you heard me not being able to do math. So
where I can't find her paperwork. Let's see, where is she listed? Oh, okay. I see. The whole name is. Yeah, I got it. Now let's see.
Yeah, let's see. I have the references. Let me put them together for you and get them uploaded.
Okay.
So let's jump ahead to Dr. Adam Worley. This application has previously been reviewed for EPPP and licensure, so he's just looking to get the temporary license. Arizona Argosy, transferred to Chicago in 2020, did 2,000 hours internship at Southwest Behavioral Health, APA approved, verified, and currently under a training plan at COPA Health, and it had references. I didn't see any problems.
No problem.
And I'm okay not reviewing the references. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Let me get them to you. I've got them. I'm just uploading them right now.
Great.
Yeah, I always have references and I didn't have it listed. So I'm glad you put them.
They're uploaded now.
Okay.
Just refresh your folder to see them.
Okay, let's see.
And they're labeled 4E4. Estrada references.
Got it.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it.
All right. I don't see any problems with this application.
No, I'm just checking. So the one is licensed in Utah, one is must be licensed here. The Barrett one, is that an Arizona license? Do we know? Because look at the number for Barrett. You know, I don't know if we have that many numbers like that in Arizona.
Well, this was in Utah.
Oh, no wonder. Okay. The second one said Utah, but the first didn't say. Yeah. Okay, so then that's all right.
All right. I'll make a motion to move Drs. Smith, Savage, Estrada, and Worley to the full board for approval for supervised temporary licensure and approval to set for the ECPP.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We did not move Bezerra forward on this one.
No.
We already did Dr. Douglas.
Yes.
Did we make a motion on that one, though?
You did not.
Okay, thank you. I'll make a motion to move Dr. Douglas to the full board for approval for licensure by credential.
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Okay.
Last is G, requesting approval for licensure by universal recognition.
Okay. I could do so. Dr. Jacqueline Flood. Yes. So she's licensed in Florida, graduated from Argosy Tampa in 2006. So she's here just part-time to take care of her ailing grandfather. So, and all she has for verification that her name is listed on his credit card. So I don't know if that was one of the options.
Establishing banking services is one of the listed criteria.
Okay, because most people had rental or utilities. I didn't know.
Yeah, I think it meets the letter of the law, regardless of.
Okay, and then I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she has to be living here, but she's temporarily staying here, so. It's okay, I think.
I agree. Next is Joellen Stevens, licensed in California since 1991, graduated from University of California in 1981, had a driver's license. I didn't see any problems with this one.
No. No problems. Okay, Heather Walker. I see that she graduated from the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology and graduated in 2014, but was licensed in California in 2018. So probably she has the credentials. So what do you think?
I think this one also meets the letter of the law.
Okay, you go.
And that's it. We previously
did. Oh, yeah. I have Oppenheimer with the utility bill. Yeah. Okay.
Want to make a motion?
Perhaps. Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we forward the names of Dr. Flood, Dr. Stevens, Dr. Walker, and Dr. Oppenheimer to the full board for approval for licensure by universal recognition.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That concludes agenda item 4. Agenda item 5, any new agenda items?
Now, why does a meeting have to always be 7:30? That's
only... I'm cool with moving it a little bit later.
Yes, could we make it like 8:30 or 9 or anything? 9 p.m., 7:30 p.m.?
Mr. Chair, Dr. Catarino, historically we've had it this early because CBA meets at 9:30. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but we've been speeding through these, even with this.
Yeah, so we could even do 8 o'clock.
Try an 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I would be okay with 8 o'clock. I do caution that when Dr. Malott is on the rotation, she may insist on 7:30. I'm speculating, but yeah.
But when we're on it, could we do 8 and be flexible for other committee members?
Should we just keep it consistent?
Dr. Meyer, this is your last rotation for this year.
Okay.
Do you mean this is his last meeting for this
then
year?
I say we move it up to 7 o'clock for next month.
I'll get you.
All right. Agenda items. Thank you so much, Ms. Folks, Ms. Pakkinen, Ms. Galvin. Appreciate all your help. This was a bit rougher of a month. So thank you for everything, and I'm not going to leave, Ms. Pakkinen. But agenda item 6, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I don't know.
Do I hear a second on that?
Seconded. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay.
We're done. Go back to bed, Dr. Catarino.
No, I can't. My full day now that I'm up. Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. All right, Ms. Pakkinen. Okay. Sorry.